So we're just discussing a point here in the Megillah, which is a matter of pshat. All right? So it says like this. It says, originally Haman was successful, and the decree was given that the Jews should be destroyed on Yud Gimel Adar. This was Yud Gimel Nisan, the year before. Okay. So then what happened? So the whole story happened with, I spoke at length last time about the, you know, about the chachma that Esther used in order to have Haman convicted, with the, bring him to the Mishnah. This we spoke about last time. I'm not going to go over that point. I don't know if I mentioned one time, the Rav one time said, pshat in the whole sequence. He wanted to say that, how did Esther prove that that Haman was a Rasha? Because what she showed, what she demonstrated was that, see, apparently he was having problems, Achashverosh, because it says, Balailahu Nodashnas HaMelech. He's having problems after the whole big banquet was over, and now he had to get back to reality, and he's having problems insofar as his kingdom was concerned. So he knew there were different factions. So Balailahu Nodashnas HaMelech was, he realized that different factions became suspicious of different people. What is going on here? So already Balailahu Nodashnas HaMelech, he was thinking already of the problems that he had, and he was very concerned that there is something serious going on here. So what did he do? He started to read the Sefer Zichronos. And then he saw that Mordechai did something good for the king, and he wasn't rewarded. So the king always wants to promote loyalty. So someone who did something good, saved the life of the king, he should be honored. So he recognized that he's in trouble, that something's brewing. And he says, now what he said was that the person who saved the king, he's the one that should be have public honor, because he wanted to promote loyalty, you see? Now, what the Rav said was that what Esther demonstrated was that really Haman was in a plot against Achashverosh. See, Haman was an egomaniac, and Achashverosh recognized this part of his personality. So what Esther showed was that Haman's plan to destroy the Jews is not really just to destroy the Jews, but it's a plot to overthrow the government. And that's why the worst thing for government is if civilians are armed. Because when civilians are armed, then they take the power wanted on in. So she convinced Achashverosh that that was really Haman's plot, to arm the civilians to destroy the Jews, and then he will move in and take over, and he has the armed civilians, and he can take over the whole government, you see. So and the Rav proved, he had an interesting proof, because when Haman fell on Esther's bed, so Achashverosh used a strange expression. He said, "Hagam lichbosh es hamalka imi baboyes." What did he mean by that? So the ancient custom was that when a kingdom was taken over, that the victor, the new king, would take the old king's queen. That's why he said, "Hagam lichbosh es hamalka imi baboyes." Is this what you intend to do? Because that was the way things were. That was the custom in those times. Yeah. What I want to answer is something further. What happened later? So what happened was, so then he was convinced. So Achashverosh was convinced that Haman is trying to destroy him, and he condemned him to death. But then he said like this. Then he placed Mordechai al Beis Haman, made him prominent. And then the problem was what to do, because already the decree Iksav was given out that the Jews should be destroyed. So there was a problem, and Achashverosh mentioned the problem. He says that he said like this. Says V'atem kisvu al Yehudim katov beinecha. He says why? Because I can't rescind. I can't cancel. Withdraw the decree that I gave, because when a king is anything that has a stamp of the melech can't be returned. I look like I'm crazy. Can't do that, because you lose your power. So he told him, he says, Kisvo Ahidim Katov Beinechem. Yeah, but it's a strange phenomenon. So what are the, now he's going to look like a crazy man altogether. First he gives out a ksav that the Jews should be destroyed, and now he gives out, and now, now he endorses the opposite, that the Jew. Yeah, they can do what they want. Yeah. Now, an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing. But the, if, how could they defend themselves against all these people altogether? I mean, how many Jews were there? Is talking about Malchus Achashverosh, Mehoidavat Kush, millions of people. How are they going to defend themselves? That itself is a difficulty. You've got to defend yourself against against these people. How are they going to do it? Okay? So, it's a disturbing... is a disturbing feature in the Megillah. I mean, what kind of a plan was this? So it's interesting. I thought of an answer. But then I found an Ibn Ezra that asked the same question, basically. It's an interesting... I'll tell you his pshat. I'll tell you what I'll tell you my pshat also. I probably wouldn't have thought about it if I would have seen Ibn Ezra first. He says like this. It's Ibn Ezra on Ches Ches. He says, Yesh Lishol, Loma Kosav Mordechai, Laharog Sone Yehudim. Why did Mordechai write to destroy the enemies of the Jews? Varav Lova Lahem Sheyim Latu. He's just, the Jews don't want blood. I mean, they don't want to kill the other people. They should just be happy, be satisfied that they're saved. I mean, it's like asking, don't ask more than he may change his mind. I mean, take, the main thing is that Father should be saved, and that's it. What do you want to do? Why should he have to destroy the Son of Israel? So he says like this. He says, Da, he says, you should know, Ki Chacham Gadlaya, that Mordechai was a big Chacham. He says like this. The Hine Achashverosh Amalo Asei Kol Mashetuchal Kedei Limolet Amcha. He says, Achashverosh told him, do whatever you want in order to save your nation. Apparently he wasn't going to think it out, Achashverosh. He says, Achashverosh basically gave Mordechai a problem. He said, look, I want to save the Jews, but look, this is the situation. I already gave a decree that all Jews should be destroyed. You work it out. I'm not going to, I can't do any more. You think about it. Okay? So if you say Melech Tipeshai, you understand why he said it. So, he said like this. So he says that Mordechai figured out what to do. He said like this. He says, "V'hinei hutzrach Mordechai lichtov kain." This is what Mordechai actually wrote. He says, "De'u, you should know, shamelach tziva lahaman shohaya mishna lamelach sheyichtov ksav b'shem amelach." He says the king told Haman to write a ksav in the name of the king. V'nasma amelach tabato lachzom ba, and he gave him his ring to seal it, to sign it. That the Jews should destroy their enemies. He says Haman really switched it, and he really switched it, that the Jews should be killed. When the Melech discovered this, Talu al Eitz. So he hung him on the tree. Allah Sheshalach Yada by Yehudim. Hefech Ratzan HaMelech. Vezeh Pirish Ubevo Alefnei HaMelech. Kasha Faresh. Vehine Ha'ed HaNemon. Shenit Lohomon. Vetziva HaMelech Lihikasev Svam Acherim. Venechtemu Tabata Ketzon HaRish. Vezeh HaNafachu. Okay. That's what it says. That means HaNafachu. But Afachum means, okay. So that's what Ibn Ezra says. Ibn Ezra says that basically what Achashverosh did was he presented Mordechai with a problem. So he can't do anything about the original Ksav. Now you have to work out some way to save the Jews. So he said what he did was he told him that Mordechai actually wrote in the second Ksav that actually what happened was that Achashverosh first Ksav was really, this was the first Ksav. But Haman switched it around. And therefore, this was the original ksav of the melech, and this was the original ksav of the melech, and the proof is that the melech, when he discovered this, he hung Haman, and he placed Mordechai over the house of Haman. You see? That's what the Ibn Ezra says. That's the Ibn Ezra's shot. I was thinking of a little bit of a different shot. No, it's possible. Well, that's why he said. That's why he said that the Jews must destroy the enemies, because that was the original question. Why should he bother? Why should Mordechai bother with the destruction of the enemies, the anti-Semites? Okay. The only question you could ask is like this: but if that was the case, so then how could Haman do that? But then it's going to be discovered in 11 months from now that he went against the king's decree. You see, if that was the case. You see? No. So with that, because with the Rav's answer, it would explain that question. Because that was really, in other words, his plan was from the revolution. And then he was going to take over. That would answer the question. Because one question you ask on the Ibn Ezra, question of Ezra is, how could Haman get away with such a thing? In 11 months from now, we're going to see it's not true? The king's going to kill him then? Right? The Rav's answer would be very good. That actually there was an extended statement. In other words, and Haman really had intended to overthrow the government, to arm the civilians and overthrow the government. So that would answer that question on the Ibn Ezra. Okay? I hadn't seen the Ibn Ezra. But the question occurred to me. I had worked out I was thinking along a little bit different lines. I was thinking like this, that you could say that it says, Kiksov Asher Nichtav B'Shem HaMelech. It can't be returned. But actually, like this. In other words, that Mordechai wrote. So what Mordechai wrote was as follows. He said that Haman came to the king, and he wanted to destroy the Jews. And the king went along with him. The king went along with him, but for one purpose. The purpose was he wanted to discover who the enemies of the Jews are. You see? And now what he's doing is, on the contrary, in order to demonstrate what he really feels, he hung Haman. And all those, because there's another question, how do they know who the enemies are? The Jews were allowed to destroy all the anti-Semites. So what Mordechai wrote was that the king, Haman, was an anti-Semite. And the king went along with him for one reason, in order to uncover who the anti-Semites were. And now the king hung Haman, and all those people that were ready to destroy the Jews ought to be killed. You see?
Went along with him.
There's one point that would seem to be in favor of this. Of course, there's a problem. When did this occur? When did all this occur? It occurred actually right away, like we said, because Mordechai told Esther, if immediately you don't do anything, if you let this rest for one day, then the king's never going to listen to you, because he's going to think he can appease you in the future. So that's why she had to go right away to the king. Right away, because they had 11 months, but it had to be done right away. But you take a look in the Megillah, when was this written? When did the second Ksav go out? When did the second Ksav go out?
After Haman was destroyed.
Haman was destroyed right away. But the second Ksav didn't go out till much later, till Sivan. The Shlosha Ve'esrim Bo, the 23rd day of Sivan. That's from Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. That's over 2 months. Question is, why so much time? The Yosef Lekach appears in the Megillah. He asks the question, why so much time? I mean, you see right away when you take a look, what's so much, why so much time? I think according to my pshat, it would be very good. Why? Because once the decree was given that they can destroy the Jews, so they were getting ready. The anti-Semites were getting ready at that time. And apparently they were getting ready in groups and planning on how to do it, when to do it. You see, who are the Jews? Find out who the Jews are. It can't be done in one day. It takes time. So really, when the anti-Semites had 11 months, there was 11 months of planning involved. And they got together, and they had to make sure they know who every Jew is, where they live, and to make sure that when they attack, that they destroy every Jew. You can't just destroy every Jew like this. You have to. It takes a lot of work. You see, like Nazi Germany, Yimach Shemam. So there was, they had offices that that they were, you know, delegated to decide how to do it and to make sure they know who the Jews are. And this was all being prepared. That's why he waited 2 months to send out the second Ksav. Because then it was clear who the people are that are involved in the destruction of the Jews. Okay, so you have the two pshatim. The one thing I wanted to add was that what was the whole purpose of the destruction of the anti-Semites? Basically, it wasn't a question anymore of the Jews having to defend themselves against millions of people, because once they knew that the king endorses this, so then the multitudes didn't matter anymore. But it was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem that the Jews were raised to the level that the Melech recognized that the Jews are on the highest level. He placed Mordechai al Beis Haman, and V'rabim me'amei ha'aretz misyadim ki nafal pachar ha'yehudim aleihem. It means that the Jews enjoyed a very special type of respect, that they're a very special people, you see. So this was really something which it wasn't just a physical warfare, it was psychological warfare also. Because Rabbim Me'amei Aretz Misyadim Ki Nafal Pachar HaYehudim Aleihem. Because the way the Melech was done by the Melech, so there was an emotional fear that struck all the people when it came to the Jews, and that's why they were able to overpower their enemies. Otherwise, it would be impossible. So it was a psychological factor that was involved, not just a physical factor. That's why it says, but it's interesting. So therefore, what happened was that from anti-Semitism, where the Jew was considered to be the lowest creature, he was raised to the highest level. That there's something special about the Jew. That's why they were Messianic. So the Jew became, in the eyes of the people, a superior figure. But it's an interesting thing. In contradistinction to the concept of superiority of Haman. Because what was the idea of Haman? The idea of Haman was that the Jews are an inferior race. You see, an inferior race. And that he was a superior person. You see, he was a superior person. He made himself into a god that was the deification of man. But what was the result insofar as the Megillah was concerned, when the opposite was came about, that the Jew is a superior person? So it says, La Yudamaisa Ora Vesimcha Vesasan Viakar. So Chazal say Ora, what does Ora represent? Ora represents Torah. Ora represents Torah. Ora Vesimcha, Vesimcha Chazal say is Yomtif. Because Yomtif is Simcha. Sason, Chazal say, it means Mila, Bris Mila. And the Yakar is Elu Tefillin Shebarosh. Because it says that V'roch Olamei Oretz K'shem Hashem Nikro Alecha V'yoro Mimeka. So what does Chazal mean by this statement? Chazal mean that when the people recognize the superiority of the Jew, it wasn't the superiority of the Jew insofar as a personality is concerned. That's Avodah Zarah. That was Haman. Haman represented the idea of the deification of man, which is Avodah Zarah. But the superiority of the Jew, Lahidamos, the Aura of a Simcha, it means, what is the Aura of a Simcha? The Aura of a Simcha was that they returned to the concept of the Torah. That's the Aura. And the Simcha Shel Yontif. What is the Simcha Shel Yontif? It means Lifnei Hashem. And then Sason means Bris Mila. Bris Mila means, Mila represents the idea that man, Tomim Tiyah Imad Hashem Alekecha, that man does not believe in any other forces but only God, and nothing else. Nothing else does he accept in terms of as a power. And the Yakor, the Roch Olamei Oretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'yoro Mimeka. What is the respect for the Jew? It is Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha. Not a respect for the Jew as a person. Not a respect for the individual as an individual. Only Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha. It's a reflection of of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Elu, what does Shem Hashem Nikra Lachamin? It's Elu Tefillin Shebarosh. Why Tefillin Shebarosh? It's an interesting thing. There's Tefillin Shebiyad and Tefillin Shebarosh. But the Tefillin Shebiyad is, like the Rishonim say, is Keneged the Lev, which means the emotions. And the Tefillin Shebarosh is because it's Keneged the Machshava, the Tzelem Olakim. So the concept of the Tefillin Shebiyad and Tefillin Shebarosh is that the emotions should be subordinated and be in line with the Tefillin Shebarosh, which reflects the concepts and the ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the halacha is that you must have first the Shel Yad, Shatam Lo Sol Yadecha, Lo'il Tadfos Ben Inecha. Because the Shel Yad, Lo'il Tadfos, that whenever it's on, whenever you have the Shel Rosh, you must have the Shel Yad, Chazal said. Because the Shel Yad reflects the emotional commitment, and it finds its fulfillment in the Shel Rosh, in the intellectual perfection. So what the Malchus Achashverosh from Mordechai to Parah saw in the greatness and superiority of the Jew was not the superiority of an individual of a Ben Adam, but the superiority of the of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is represented through Asiyas HaMitzvahs and the Os of the Tefillin. Tefillin is the Os. Milah is an Os and Tefillin is an Os. And Tefillin is the Os of the essence of the Os is in the Shel Rosh. Is in the Shel Rosh. Ro kolam ayaris k'shem ad Hashem nikra lecha v'yarem mecha. That was Mekuyim in the time of Mordechai Nefesh. Okay. We'll go to Halachas. All right, so we're dealing with Halacha of Megillah K'suv Ben HaK'suv. So Gemara left you Tess. All right, and Megillah. So the Gemara says that Megakar of Megillah K'suv Ben HaK'suv is your testimony Amar Alf and Amar Beis. Is Halacha is that he's lo yatzah. All right. Because it's not Pesum and Issa. So then the Gemara said, of course, it's only if it's equal, but if it's Mechzor, it's okay. If it's Nicker, in other words, if it's a little shorter than the rest of the Ksuvim, or if it's a little longer, so then it's Nicker, that it's a Megillah, that's different, then it's okay. In other words, the length of the pages. Alright? Or the Ksuvim and Ksuvim, it's all sewn together. But if it's longer than the rest, then it's okay. If it's shorter, then it's okay. Now, so the Gemara says, Kari, yeah, my son put the lesson. Levi Bashmol of a Kakari Kame de Rabbi Yehudim Gilak Suv Ben Ksuv. Amalei, Harry Emmer, Kerbin Gilak Suv Ben Ksuv La Yotza. So he was reading in front of him and he said, Na Yotza. Amuch Rabbi Amu Yechon, Kerbin Gilak Suv Ben Ksuv La Yotza. Umachi La Amucha, the Gemara says. And they mitigated, so to speak, the strength of the Halacha. How? They said, Betzibur Shana. That's only Betzibur. But Beyachid is good. All right. So, Betzibur Shono. Lo Amar Lo Betzibur. All right. So the halacha is that Megillah Ksuv Ben Ksuv, you're not Yetzer if you read a Betzibur, but Beyachid you are. So the Shagasai over here asks a few powerful questions. First of all, he says the whole halacha doesn't make any sense. First of all, where do you find the thing that a person is... that a person is yotze biyachid and betzibur the same thing, is not yetzer. Doesn't make any sense. And he says, moreover, a yachid, it's forget about the halacha of tzibur, but there are yachidim also. Tzibur doesn't mean they're not yachidim, so let them be yotze b'teres yachid. Right? And he says, moreover, he says, the only reason that a tzibur is because they're doing some halachic performance. If you have 100 people in the room, it's not a tzibur. It's only a tzibur because he's doing halacha performance. So if you're going to say that over here this performance is no good for a tzibur, so then it's not. So there's no tzibur anymore. So then they're all yechidim. So then you should definitely be yotze. No. In other words, what he's saying is the whole idea doesn't make any sense. He's telling me I'm sitting here with a tzibur, and then he says, moreover, he says, where's the greater pesum menisa, the tzibur or biyachid? He says the tzibur has more pesum menisa than the yachid. So he says it should be just the opposite. That where you're biyachid, you're telling me that it's good enough pesumenis if it's ksuva ben ksuvim. So where there is no real pesumenis, but tzibur should definitely be good enough. Kal v'chomer, you're telling me if I have an additional quality of tzibur, now it makes it worse. That it can't be. It's on the contrary, tzibur is an additional quality. It doesn't make any sense. The whole halacha doesn't make any sense.
says, oh, no, what answer is? He says, what's the teretz? He says, the answer is what the Gemara means over here, b'tzibur. It's not referring to on Purim itself, b'tzibur. That's not what it's referring to. Because on Purim, the yetzer b'yachid, it's only the yetzer b'tzibur. He says, it's referring to the Gemara says, madin the yom ha'knisa. All right? If you can't lane on Purim itself, so you magdim. So he says, then the Gemara says you must have a minion in that case. There must be asar. If you don't have a minion, there's no, you're not yotze. On Purim itself, it could be yotze b'yachid. But when you magdim liyom haknisa, yachid is nothing, because yachid is not a ma'isa of, there's no ma'isa pirsum, because there's no chiyuv. So then it must be tzibur. So he says, that's what it means. And that tzibur, he says, but tzibur over there is referring to that kind of a tzibur. The tzibur that you magdim liyom haknisa. You see? He says, then the halacha is, in that case, halacha is megillah, ksuv ben ksuv is no good. Because it's not just tzibur you need, but you need to have a megillah that stands by itself to show that this is really a pirsum of megillah. But on Purim itself, you don't need that. You don't need that pirsum on Purim itself. On Purim itself, it can be karbi yachid and karbi megillah ben ksuv ben ksuv. It's just when it's not Purim, so you have to have something additional to demonstrate the concept of pirsum and isa of megillah. So then you must have 10. Otherwise, there's no pirsum. It's not considered a ma'isa shel pirsum. And also, you must have a separate megillah to show that this is the megillah. So we're reading the megillah now, and there's pirsum of pirsum akriya. You need a pirsum akriya over there. So you must have a separate cheftza. That's only when it's not Purim you need that. He says that's what he means by tzibur. But on Purim itself, where yachid could be yotzei with megillah ksuv and ksuv, certainly a tzibur could be yotzei with megillah ksuv and ksuv. That's what he answered. Oh, it's a very nice Shagasai's answer, but I'm afraid you cannot tell the Rambam that answer. Take a look at the Rambam. Rambam has it in Beis Ches. En Korin b'tzibur b'megila haksuva ben haksuvim. V'im kara lo yata. Rambam says. Alright? Aval ha-yochid kore bo. Vafilu eino chasera v'lo yisera. The yotze bo yedei chavasa. Alright? So Ram says openly, the halacha, that b'tzibur you're not yotze, and b'yochid you're yotze. Now here the Rambam's just talking about regular kriya. Regular kriya. On Purim itself. He's not discussing the halachas of being magdim liyom haknisa. As a matter of fact, that's brought in Perek Aleph. You see, that's brought in Perek Aleph. And where he mentions the halach of asara by where you're not karib is mana. You see, that's in Perek Aleph halach of Zion. He says, v'chol elu shemagdimin v'korin kodem yudalid. Ein korin oso b'pachas me'asara. That's what the Rambam says. Ein korin oso b'pachas me'asara. So if the Rambam's halacha was that a megillah, haksuva ben haksuvim, is no good, only when you kori oso kodim zmano, then he should have said over there, v'chol eilu shemagdimim v'korim kodim yud, ein korin oso b'pachas me'asara, ein korin oso b'megillah haksuva ben haksuvim. Not over here in Perek Beis. In Perek Beis is discussing the regular halachas of Kriyas and Megillah. You see? The regular halachas in Perek Beis, halacha Ches, the Rambam's discussing the regular halachas of Kriyas and Megillah. He is not discussing Kriyas and Megillah Kodesh Mana. So therefore the Shagas Ayah's answer is a very nice answer, but it's not a good answer for the Rambam. So the Kasha comes back. The Ran was already picked up the question, actually. Same question as Shai Gesaya, how is it possible to have such a lacha? But it seems that way. It seems that at least he answers the question. Let's put it that way. He says, because he bases it on the lashon, why does the Gemara say, b'tzibur shana? The Gemara should have said, lo shana wele b'tzibur, b'yachad is yatsa. So he says like this. He says what the Gemara means like this. B'tzibur shana. This, it's mochala amocha, means they weakened the halacha. They made a change. They modified it. So what does it mean? Machal amacham is like this. Lo shano ela betzibur. I'm sorry. Betzibur shano. Betzibur shano. Betzibur shano means like this. That this halacha, which said that you're not yotzei, was spoken betzibur. Now, since it was spoken betzibur, since the case was betzibur, right? So it means that yochid is even lachatchila is allowed to do it, right? So if that's the case, you can't say that you're not yotzei betzibur. You can only say it's halacha lachatchila betzibur, which is basically the Shagasari's point. You see? Now look like this. This is the Ran. He says she'ein locha lo ma lo yotze. You shouldn't say lo yotze. Don't say that. It's wrong. Why? Shelo amrel betzibur. Because they only said this halacha betzibur. Aval biyachir afil lachatchila. But by yachir even lachatchila you can read with the Megillah Ksuvim and Ksuvim. Hilkach afil betzibur di eved mi a yotze. So therefore you must say that by a tzibur if lachatchila yachir could do it. So a tzibur, at least b'di'evet should be yotzer. Alright? That's what he's saying. If l'chatchila yachid can do it, so then the b'tzibur certainly b'di'evet they should be yotzer. Sounds like the Shai Gesari's point. That's it. They're knocking it down from the fact that b'tzibur shono.
He's saying in economics the Shai Gesari's
point. That's true. According to the Ran, you still have to work out why lechatchila betzibur you shouldn't do with a Megillah Ksuvim and Ksuvim. So then you could say that's not so hard already. You could say because betzibur it's a greater kiyum of pirsum to show a separate Megillah, but b'yochid the person knows it's a separate Megillah. You see, it's a kiyum, a greater kiyum of pirsum. You see, in the Gemara on Daf Hamad Aleph, the Gemara deals with the question of Bismana, whether you require asara or not. It's a machlekes Rashi and Taisus. So Rashi says like this. Rashi deviates from the plain pshat in the Gemara. Why? Because Rashi says that what is the halacha that you was halacha that you need 10? It doesn't mean that it's ma'akev, that 10 is ma'akev, but it means lechatchila you should try to find 10. If you can't find 10, it's okay. What kind of halacha is that? That means according to him, if you b'di'evet, you definitely yotzei with one. Rashi apparently could not comprehend the idea that Megillah, which is a chovas yochid, should require asara. On par. Did not make any sense. Okay. So of course, when Rashi learns Rav himself as choshesh for Rav Asi, it means in the lachatchila capacity. It's very difficult. It's not so smooth a Gemara. Taisvis definitely doesn't agree with Rashi. Why? Because Taisvis is like this. He says, Mikom makom hilchas akavase de Rav. Allah is like Rav. That what? That biyachid is yoyotze biyachid. Why? He says, because Rabbi Yochanan holds like him. In the second paragraph, because Rabbi Yochanan says that Megillah ksuvim ben ksuvim is loyotze. But biyachid you are yoyotze. Al moshe karnas are biyachid. So you see, you are karn biyachid. If Taisvis held like Rashi, it wouldn't prove anything. Because Rashi holds that it's not a machlokas whether it's karen or sabiyach. It is definitely karen or sabiyach. The question is whether l'chatchila should run after asar or not. You see? So how could Taisus prove from Rabbi Yochanan's halacha that l'chatchila you don't have to run after asar? He's speaking by the Yavid, that b'yachid yayetzah. At any rate, the halacha, it seems, a lot of problems with the halacha itself. It's not so smooth. According to Rashi, what's the pshat according to Rashi? I think one time gave the definition. According to Rashi, the halacha of pirsum hanes means that a person is mechuyev to be mefarsamit to the utmost of his ability. That's pirsum. That's what we said that in Chanukah. Because we said, how come in Chanukah he could leave the Chanukah candle inside menichal shachana v'daya b'shas ha'sakana and not b'shas ha'sakana he wouldn't be yetzer al shachana. So how's it possible? If you can be Yitzhak Shulchanai B'Shas Sakana, so why can't you be Yitzhak Shulchanai Shalom B'Shas Sakana? So we say, because Allah of Pearson means that you did the utmost possible to be Mepharsim. That's the Allah of Pearson. So that's what Rashi means. It says like this. He says, Mitzvah Lach Zerach Asara, Mishim Pearson Menisa, Aval Ilo Ashkech Asara. If you can't find Asara, Lo Omar Ravasid Lo Likre. Shein Isakri Asa B'Yachad, Ela Mitzvah Likros B'Asara. That's what he says. He says, that's what Rashi says, that if you can't find 10, so then you can read a b'yachid. There's no halacha in Kriya per se, but it's halacha in Pesum Nisa that you mechuyev to be mefarsh in the nation so far as you can. It's just like by Hanukkah. He holds the same thing like Hanukkah. Rav didn't open that halacha. Rav held it's a chiyuv Kriya, that's all. Now mechuyev to be mefarsh in the Kriya. According to the way Rashi learns like this, the machlekes Rav and Rav Asi is the halacha that the Kriya itself is the pirsum and that's it? Or Kriya is like Ner Hanukkah. You have to be Kari, you should try to be Kari, Bifnei Asara. It's not just halacha, the Kriya per se is the pirsum. But Kriya is like a mitzvah Ner Hanukkah. Just like Ner Hanukkah, you have to put it in a situation of pirsum. You have to be Kari in a situation of pirsum. So you require, you should try to find 10. If you can't, so then you putter. So then that's it. That's a Rashi. In other words, what Rashi's saying is simply, Rashi's saying is that there's a locha that pierce, that Kriya is a Maisa Pearson, just like what? Just like Ner Hanukkah. That's what Rav Asi held. Rav didn't hold the way. Rav held no. It's a locha is Maisa Kriya and finished. That's it. But Barovam Hadras Melech, everybody else, they're not talking about that. It's more than Barovam Hadras Melech. The halacha of Ravasi's halacha. Ravasi's halacha wasn't Barovam Hadras Melech. It was halacha that the mitzvah of Kriya must be done, if possible, for Asara. In other words, according to him, if you had a situation of Asara and you learned Biyachid, you wouldn't be Yitzhak. See? He says, Ilo Ashkach. Aval Ilo Ashkach Asara. Lo Omer Ravasi Lo Likri. So it's mitzvah Lachzrach Asara. Mechuyev to go to be machzach arasara.
Right.
If you don't have it, you're yaitzah. But if you could have easily had asara and you didn't, then it lacks in the pierce. All Rashi's explaining over there is that since everybody's mechuyev to read the Megillah today, so now when I read the Megillah, it's a ma'isa pierce. Because the chova gives the framework of the Megillah as pierce manes. But if it's Shalob is mano, so now there's no chov on anybody to read the Megillah. So now I'm reading the Megillah as a yochid. It looks like I'm a Meshuggah. So I'm reading the Megillah. What's it got to do with it? It requires a sora to demonstrate that we got together to give the yasora pearson.
What?
If a yochid just reads the Megillah and the Shalob is mano, it doesn't mean anything. It's like a person, a guy's going to read the Parshas Bereishis. I mean, it has nothing to do with anything. The Maisa doesn't have any credibility. If Asura get together to read a Megillah, then the Maisa is considered endowed with by the mere fact that Asura Akore, that it's a Kriya B'tzibor, the Kriya Satzibor, gives it a Chalos of Kriya Samegillah. Gives it a Chalos of Kriya Samegillah. You understand what I mean? And with that Chalos of Kriya B'tzibor, exactly. When Rashi uses the term the Ike Pirsum Neis, Rashi doesn't mean Pirsum Neis klape somebody else. It means it's a Kriya Shel Pirsum. Otherwise, just a Kriya something. A person picked up a Megillah, happened to pick it up and read, doesn't mean anything. It means it's a Kriya Shel Pirsum. Kriya Shel Pirsum, because everybody's Chai of Megillah today. So today, when I'm Kari Megillah, it's a Kriya B'Taras Pirsum. But if it's not the Zman, so I just pick up a Megillah, so it's just like I haphazardly read a Megillah. What does that have to do with anything? But if it's Asara got together to do it, then it's definitely considered a Kiyam of Kriyas Megillah.
Okay.
The Rams in Perak Alch Lach Yidol. V'chol Eilu Shemagin L'Vekaron Kodem Yidol Ein Karnas Ol Pachas Me'asara.
What?
Now the Raifa is like this. Omar Avram. V'yaf b'yudalit atzmo mitzvah b'asara k'ravasi. The Rav Gufi the Poligal echosh lo ha'deravasi. You see? So the Ravid apparently learns like Rashi. It's interesting. The Ravid apparently learns like Rashi. Because he says that af b'yudalit atzmo is mitzvah b'asara. Why? K'ravasi. The Rav Gufi the Poligal echosh lo ha'deravasi. U'may dekas v'rav zal b'alochos v'dochel ravasi. Lav milsi de heichid de efshel mehavi ba'asara mitzvah lemahader alayhu the heichid de lo efshir vaday kar biyachid. It would seem from the way the Ravid learns like Rashi, the Ravid learns like Rashi, but it would seem I'll have to change one thing that I said over here. In Rashi, even with, in other words, the question in Rashi is: let's say a person was not mahader achar asara.
does it mean he's not Yetzer? Or is he Yetzer anyways, but it's simply a mitzvah lahadar afar asara? It would seem it's mitzvah that he's Yetzer anyways. And when Rashi says v'ilay ashkach, aval ilay ashkach asara, he doesn't mean that ilo ashkach, that that's the only case where you'd be Yetzer. He just says ilo ashkach because it's a mitzvah lahadar. He doesn't want to say that the person is bedafka doing something wrong. So he gives you the case where he's doing something right, ilay ashkach. But it's not, it would seem. The Ravid learns like that too. So therefore, it's a separate halacha, it's a separate kiyum of basara. It's a mitzvah basara. This is not Rav Hamadrash Melech, because Rav Hamadrash Melech is 500 versus 100. It's asara. It's just that there's a halachic entity of asara. Okay? Alright, the Rambam apparently doesn't have it. I mean, that's something we have to consider. If it's halacha of pirsum meinisa, so what's the difference between why dafka asara? Rashi doesn't say mitzvah l'mahadracha esrim m'shloshim. That's a separate din of Rav Hamadrash Melech, a separate halacha. It doesn't say that. It's something more, something special about asara. You see?
So what?
It's an individual.
So the question is, if it's a chovas yachid, what is asara doing for you? You know what I mean? If the other nine people are simply because of pirsum, so then you should have a 20 should be better than 10 and 30 better than 20. But what do you see from this halacha? You see one thing. You see apparently that Kriyas HaMegillah could take place in two frameworks. Either Kriya Shel Yachid or else Kriya Shel Tzibur. That's what you see. In other words, if it was a Chovas Yachid, it wouldn't make any sense Mitzvah L'mahadar HaChasar. What do you mean Mitzvah L'mahadar HaChasar? What do you need a Sara for? What is a Sara doing for you? To be in a Tzibur and something a person wants to bench. So Mitzvah L'mahadar HaChasar. It doesn't make any sense. If you're doing something that is only yochid, what do I care if you have asara for? You understand what I mean?
But
don't know. I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Just saying, but a person has to do a ma'isa mitzvah, so to do a basara when it's a chovas yochid doesn't make any sense. So what does it show you? It shows you one thing. This is what you have to say in Rashi, you have to say in the Ravid, that the halacha is that Gila is Nikras Petoras Yochid, and there's a separate, it's Toface, a Tzibor. In other words, a Kriya, since it's Allah of Pesumenis and Megillah, so Kriyas HaTzibor is a different level. It's a different Chalesh Shem, and it's a different halachic entity. There's a halachic entity of a Kriyas HaTzibor. You see? That's why Rashi in the Ravid say, Mitzvah Lach Zorach HaSar. Mitzvah lach zarach asar. You see? Mitzvah lach zarach asar. Because it's a different entity. Okay? So there's a kriyas haTorah b'Torah Sibur, a kriyas haMegillah b'Torah Sibur, and a kriyas haMegillah b'Torah Siyachid. That's the mitzvah lach zarach. Mitzvah lach zarach means that it's a greater mitzvah to have a kriyas haMegillah b'Torah Sibur. It's a different phenomenon. It's a different kiyam kriya. It's a different kiyam kriya.
Where does that Tzibur emerge from?
The concept of kriya b'tzibur emerges from the idea that it's considered that it's a maisa shel persume nisa. Since it's a maisa shel persume nisa, so therefore the kriya satzibur is a different level of persume nisa. It's a different level. It's a maisa atzibur. It's a maisa shel atzibur. As a matter of fact, according to what the Rav one time said, the Rav Shir. The Rav Antan said, what is the concept of Tzibur? He said, Asara represents the whole Klal. Whole Klal Yisrael. What a raiser. So therefore, it makes perfect sense that since the event was an event on the Klal, and the Halacha is that you're supposed to be mefarsim, the Klal should be mefarsim. So therefore, the Halacha b'Tzibur means it's a different kind of a thing. Now you're doing this, now the whole Klal is being carried in the Megillah. It's a different kiyum. You see? So come to this, two kiyum of Pesume Nisa. Really, actually, the halacha is that the whole call has to... Pesume Nisa means the whole call has to be involved in the Kriyas HaMegillah. The Nes has been forcing through Kriyas HaMegillah among the whole call. So individually, there's also a kiyum call. Because individually, you're part of the call. See, that's what Rashi says. Mitoch shi chova bo b'yom, I'll call yachid v'yachid. Koran also afilu biyachad. That kol Koran, that kol Koran, the ika pirsum nes. Understand Rashi a little better. Rashi means like this. Rashi means that pirsum nes means that the whole call has to be meforsim among the whole call. That's the law of pirsum nes, right? Now how is it meforsim among the whole call? Because every yachid lanes. But a kriya b'tzibor is a higher level. A kriya b'tzibor. A kriya satzibor means not that the pirsum takes place piecemeal because everybody is here's the Megillah. It's a kriya b'yachad. Kriya b'yachad is a different kind of a level of pirsum. You see, it's a kriya of the whole kol b'yachad is a different kiyum. So that's why Ravasi said mitzvah lemahader achasara. And the Ravid holds that way too. As a matter of fact, now that loch of Enkarna saw Ella Betzibor outside of Yidalad makes more sense. Because if you're telling me that there is a phenomenon of a Kriya Satzibor, then I can understand outside of Yidalad why the Kriya Satzibor, what does Asura do? If you're going to tell me that there's only a Chovas Yochid Megillah to begin with, so now when I'm Maktim Liyom HaKnisa, so I have to be Yotzim Echovas Yochid, right?
Now, earlier.
What does it help me if I have a Tzibor? I mean, the Tzibor is not Nitfas. But if you say that really the halacha is that there is a kriya b'tzibor, the different chaleshem, now I can understand. A kriyas yachid doesn't make any sense if it's shlobas mano. Because what is a yachid's maisa? It doesn't have any credibility. But a tzibor's maisa has credibility. So therefore, it's obvious, it's muchach, that it's a kriya shal megillah lepirsum. You see? So what we're saying is the Rambam also holds that there's a kiyam kriya megillah basara.
Yeah.
The only thing is, the Ram doesn't mention that the mitzvah that you're mechuyif to go to run after to try to have that kiyum. That the Ram doesn't say. But the Rambam agrees with, that's the Ravid disagrees with. The Ravid holds that's a mitzvah, like we pass my davasi to Ravid maintain. It's against Taisus. The Ram, if the Ram, well, I don't know how to Ram learned the mechuyif. But therefore, according to the Rambam, there also is a chaleshem of kriya b'tzibor. Ram also agrees. The only thing he doesn't hold is a chuyif to go be mahadar achatzibor. That's not a chova. It's not a chova to go to have a kriya b'tzibor. But that there is a kiyum like that is definitely so. There's a kiyum of kriya b'tzibor. Okay. See, that's why Rashi couldn't understand the Gemara in plain pshat. Rashi changed the plain pshat in the Gemara, not like Taisvus, because Rashi said that even Ravasi, who requires asura, held its own l'chatchila. Because Rashi couldn't understand how could you say a chovas yochid like kriyas on Megillah, you're not going to be yotzi unless you do a basara. Doesn't make any sense. So Rashi said, no, what he's saying is there's a kiyum asara, but the lechatchili should be mahadar achar asara. Because there is a greater kiyum of pirsum, and a gavra is chayev to try to, yochid is chayev to try to be, to read on the highest level of pirsum. But to say that a yachid himself can't be yotzei, that doesn't make any sense because a chovas yachid basically. That's what bothered Rashi. So it comes out like this. So it comes out now that we've established that there's a separate chalos shem of kriya satzibor, of kriya samgila b'tzibor. There's a separate chalos shem of kriya samgila b'tzibor. It's a different kind of kriya. Because it has a separate chaleshem. Mm-hmm. So it comes out, what the Gemara says is that this different type of kriya has certain different requirements. It requires a cheftza of Megillah that's muchach. In tzibur, in the kriya b'tzibur, the kriya b'tzibur requires a cheftza shel Megillah that's muchach. In yachid, there's no such thing. Because in Yochid is a different kind of a kiyum, is an individual. An individual knows the Megillah is a Megillah. But in the Kriya B'tzibor, there's a different kind of requirement for the Cheftza Shel Megillah. The Cheftza Shel Megillah must be Muchach. Alright? Yeah, there is one Shita, the Tur, he quotes it, the name of the Tur, but I think the Shiltik Ram quotes it as a Bala Itur. That the hell, that when the Gemara says B'tzibor, it means B'Besa Knesses. Means a basic nessus. But it's not a loch of yud. You see? What did that sheet to hold? See, they tried to answer the problem. What they held was like this. What they held was, like we mentioned before, that the loch of piersum demands
that you do the utmost piercing. If you fail to do the utmost piercing, then you're not yetzer. So we'll come out in a basic knesset where everybody's there. It's a makom piercing. If you're not mafarsing the chefs of shel megillah properly, so then you're not yetzer. It's makivin the whole kiyum. That's what he are. But it's very difficult to say because asara tzibur means asara basically. That's what he's. That's what the argument upshot. Say tzibur means asara. Tzibur means asara. In asara, it's already harder to say you're not yetzer. So I think the answer is basically the same answer that we said with regard to Hanukkah. In other words, by piercing, by Hanukkah, it says ubizmanas akana menichas shachana v'daya. I, how come it's not v'dayo if it's not bizmanas akana? The answer is because piercing is relative to the situation. Piercing is relative to the situation. Now, and if I don't do the piercing that's relative to the situation, I'm not yetzer. You see? You can't ask, shalogu shasa sakana, let me be yetzer b'teras, let me b'teras shasa sakana, at least. You see, I could be yetzer. No, you can't say that, because it's a different situation with vis-a-vis piercing. Now, since there's two halachas of kriya, there's two kiyumim of kriya. There's a kiyum of kriya basara, which is one tsuras pirsum. And there's a kiyum of kriya biyachid, which is a different tsuras pirsum. You can't ask, how come if I don't fulfill the requirements relative to a tsuras pirsum of asara, I should be at least yotzei b'teras yachid? You can't ask such a question. Because there's a tsuras pirsum for asara. And the halacha is piersum is relative to the conditions and the situation. So in that situation of piersum, you require that the whole kol should know that it's a megillah. It should be muchach that it's a megillah. That's the nature of the ma'isa piersum. If you don't do that, you see, if you don't do that piersum, if you don't read it that way, b'kol, b'tzibur, then you're lacking in the kriya shel piersum shel tzibur. You can't say if I'm lacking in kriya shel piersum shel tzibur, I should have a kriya shel piersum shel yachid. Because piersum is relative to the situation. The phenomenon of piersum is relative to the situation. So you have nothing. You don't have a kriya shel piersum at all. See, there's a situation of yachid, and when the yachid is alone and he reads a megillah, that's a situation of yachid. Then he's in the framework of the piersum of yachid. And he can fulfill his requirements as a piersum shel yochid. But a piersum shel tzibur is a different phenomenon altogether. And piersum is relative to the situation. So you can't just say that this if a certain situation requires a certain tzuras piersum, you can't say that even though I didn't fulfill it in that situation, but let me be yotzei as if it was another situation. It's not another situation. Piersum. His question was, "B'chol masayim on it, that I have a tzibur, but at least I have 10 yechidim. So why can't the yachid be yotzer?" That was a shagas ayas kasha. It's a good kasha, but it's a good kasha in general. It'd be impossible to have such a thing. He's right, because b'chol masayim on it, I'm a yachid. Let me at least be yotzer with her as yachid. But once I say that piersum is a phenomenon that's relative to a situation, it means that there's a different tzuras piersum for each situation. So there's a tzuras piersum for a yachid, there's a tzuras piersum for a tzibor. The moment I say that there is a halacha of kriya b'tzibor, that kriya b'tzibor is a chalei shem, it's an entity, then it has its own framework of tzuras piersum. If you don't fulfill those requirements, you're simply not yetzer. You're simply not yetzer. You can't say lo yehei ela yachid. It's not a yachid, because piersum is relative to the situation, to the framework in which it finds itself. That's why menichah shulchan v'daya, that situation, that's piersum. You see? So therefore, the question that's the answer to this question. So the Shagasai's question is, if you say there's no difference, it's a question of yachid and tzibur, he'd be right. If the yachid's there, fine, the yachid should be yotzei. What do I care, dalma yachid and tzibur? But the yachid's there, right? But if you're talking about a phenomena, that's a relativistic phenomena. It's relative to a situation. It's a different phenomena of piersum in tzibur than in yachid.
It's a different entity of Pirsum. Now you can't say that lo yehei eliyachet. You can't say that because it's a different phenomenon. It's a different tzuras mitzvah, and it's a different kiyum, and it's a different kiyum. So that kiyum, that tzura, has its own requirements of Pirsum. If you don't do it, you're not answering. You're not satisfying the requirements of Pirsum in that situation, and that's it. You can't be yotze b'taras tzibur, and you are a tzibur. It's not a situation of yachid, so you can't be yotze b'taras yachid either. So you're not yotze at all. You see? What we're saying is that tzibur is a different tzuras piercer. That's what we're saying.
Are you getting this from?
In other words, that's what we said before. Even if you disagree with the Ravid maintains it's mitzvah lahadar like Rav Asi Achasara. But even the Rambam who doesn't say mitzvah l'mahadar achasara, but still he recognizes there is a different kriya shel asara. Kriya shel asara is a different kriya. Yel zinam chiyuv to do it. Of course, you could read the Megillah yourself. There's no chiyuv to do it. But there definitely is a different tzura. V'haraya, because he says, chol eilu shemakdim v'karan kadam yidalin, ein karan asal v'pachas me'asara. You see? What kind of halacha is that pachas me'asara? You see that there is an entity of Kriya Basara. It's a different Tzuras of Kriya. It's a different Tzuras of Kriya. In other words, the moment you have 10 people get together, since the halacha recognizes a Kriya Shel Tzibor, so that's now you're in the situation. Since the halacha recognizes that there is such a phenomenon of Kriya Shel Tzibor, now you can become Tzibor. And now there's a chova to be Kare Betara Tzibor. You see? Just like what makes if 10 people together in a room and it's time to daven Maariv. Exactly. Since there's a phenomenon of 10 in of 10 of a kriya of 10 of a tzibur a kriya of 10, so the moment 10 people get together on Purim, that's halachically they become chayev in a kriya shel tzibur, a different kind of kriya, totally different kind of kriya, and if they don't fulfill that that becomes the tzuras pirsum that they're related to. If they don't execute it properly, they're not yetz at all. Not yetz at all, because pirsum is relative to the situation. The only question is this: the only question according to the Ravid and Rashi that learned that the machlokes is whether mochil chatchila to go madlar chasara is. Everybody holds that there's two different tzuras pirsum. But the question is whether as a yachid you can mechayev me to go to become part of the other tzuras pirsum. And I'm mechayev. Always, let's say the question is whether there's a chova to do it. Is that, in other words, do I have a chova? What is the chi of Kriyas HaMegillah? Is I can fulfill the kriya in a higher level. What I was saying is true, and you don't have to say that. You could say like this: you could say that since there's no pirsum biyachid kodem zmano, because there's no pirsum, because it's not a kriya shel pirsum. But if you have 10 people, so then you're doing it in front of 10, so there's your pirsum. You could say that way too.
Yeah, but still you.
So the only thing is, if you say it that way, right, so then you're going to have to say that Rav holds there's no kiyum shel asara,
right.
And that's why he argues on Rav Asi. But then you're going to be stuck with the Rambam. How can you differentiate between Megillah Ksuvim and Ksuvim between Tzibur and Yachid? Because there's no such phenomenon of Tzibur altogether. So lo yehei el asara yechidim. Why can't you be Yotze? But Abir Halacha holds Halacha like Shagas Ayah. It's against the Rambam. It's against the Rambam. It's hard to pass on Shagas Ayah against the Rambam. According to Tesfis, according to Rav Asi, you're not Yotze Shel Ol B'Tzibur. It's an interesting thing. It means it's not just the Kiyum, but that is the Tzuras Mitzvasa, is Dafke B'Tzibur. Even though it's a Chovas Yachid. Rashi didn't want to learn that way. Rashi has a Chovas Yachid. How can you say that you require a Tzibur? But Tesfis held it's a Chovas Yachid, but the Kiyum, the Tzuras Kiyum Mitzvasa, requires Tzibur. That's what Tesfis held. We just said two brief points on on the halacha of Mishloach Monos. So one is that the Rambam seems to say halacha of Machlof Sedasa. So the Rambam seems to say in Ein Lo Machlof from Chavera Zeshleich Lazes Sedasa Zeshleich Lazes Sedasa. So So what does Ram mean v'im ein lo? It would seem it's only b'di'evet, but l'chatchila, really, it's not good to do that. It shouldn't be machlav the suda. B'shavi on suda, besides, you should send mishloach manos. Why can't you be machlav? Why isn't machlav perfectly fine halachically? You have both. You have the suda and you have mishloach manos. So we say it was like this, because the Ram says, ketzachol es mesfazusha yochal basa v'yisakein suda noa k'fiyah shetim tziyodah. So why did the Rambam say v'yasakein suda noa k'fiyah shetim tziyodah? Why didn't the Rambam just say, ketzach chova suda zu sheyochal basar im suda noa k'fiyah shetim tziyodah? You see? Apparently the halacha is, according to the Rambam, that a person should make sure that he should misakein a suda noa means he should make sure that he has everything that he needs and wants to eat. And if a person is invited, let's say, somewhere else, it may be a suda noa for the other person, but it might not be a suda noa for him. In other words, it must be the yisakein suda noa. Kfir shnu suda means that he should misakein in his terms a suda noa. So that's why the Ram says v'mein lo. Why? Because if he doesn't have the v'mein lo, so he has mekayim the mitzvahs. So that has halacha even take precedence. But but the halacha of the simcha sayom is not just that he eats a suda, but that the nature of the suda should be such that he has everything that he wants, everything that he'd like to have in a suda. So therefore, if somebody else gives him a suda, he's lacking in the halacha of yisak and suda noah. Then we say one more thing. The Gemara and Davav Zion, of Zion. Of Zion in Megillah. The Gemara has these interesting stories that they sent them Shalach Monas, and they complained. He says, then they tell him, Kiyamta Bana Rabbeinu Shemeshloch Manos, Ishlael. What do you have to tell him for? He sent them, there's a story anymore. He sent, Shalach Atma de Igla Tilsa. Okay, special kind of calf.
Three-year-old calf?
No, Shlish in the button, whatever.
Third one.
The Garva de Chamra. So he says, Shalach Le Kiyamta Bana Rabbeinu Meshloch Manos, Ishlael. So what? That's 1 year, sir. What does it mean? What do you have to say? Kiyamta Rabbeinu Mishloach Manas Ishlorei. What does it mean? And then you have further on the Gemara that one sent them. He sent them Kimcha, right? And then he said, so they criticized them. They said that now that you're a big person, you still send the same. Things that you used to send before. You see. And then you had one of them sent then he sent them back the long peppers and the ginger. So he answered them back. He said, I sent you sweet things. You sent me sharp things. What is all this going on in the Gemara? You see? Then also the Gemara goes in that the Gemara mentions about Abaya. He came and he ate so much at the house over there. I mean, what is this whole Gemara about? It seems what the Gemara is saying over here is formulating the framework of Mishloach Manos. That Mishloach Manos isn't just a Maisa Mitzvah. Mishloach Manos isn't just a Maisa Mitzvah. That you just take whatever it is, a halachic obligation, and you just give the person the money, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, can you? No, Mishloach Manos is a halacha that you must engender in the other person a certain sense of a certain feeling of appreciation. That's what the halacha is. It's supposed to make the other person satisfied, happy. It's supposed to engender a certain feeling in the other person through the mana. Therefore, it's not just the halacha that you just send the mana. So therefore, that's why he said, Kiyamta bana rabbeinu mishloach manas ishlorei. What do you mean? He meant you makayin that mitzvah. That's why the Gemara says, that's why he said, they complained. They said, what do you mean? You used to send, when you were poor, that's what you said. Now you still send the same thing. I mean, what is the Taina? The Taina is that that's not Mishloach Manos. Mishloach Manos means if you don't demonstrate that the other person is important to enough to send them a really nice money, so then... there's no kiyum. So apparently Mishloach Manos is not just a Maisa Balma. Mashloch Monos in order to Mekayim Mashloch Monos, you have to bring about a certain Kiyum Belev. If you don't bring about the Kiyum Belev, you're lacking the Kiyum Mashloch Monos. That's the law. That's why it's Mashloch Monos Yishlur Eyo on the conscious Raya. That's right. Because otherwise, if it was just a Maisa Mitzvah, and the Ram says mitzvah laharbos b'rayim, doesn't he say?
Yeah,
l'rayim means only to friends, because only by a friend can you have that situation where you can engender such a response, such a feeling. But stama personally, you don't know there's no mitzvah. It would seem that you could send anything as long as it's really a davar chashuv. So Yoni Sachs wants to bring a raya that you yetzei, even if you don't evoke these feelings, congenial feelings. Why? Because you see that the Rambam says that switching a suda is good. And in that case, you see that the person knows he's going to give away a suda. So therefore, it lacks in the feelings of Mishloach Manos, because it's a switch. It could very well be that's why the Rambam says the main law. It makes a lot of sense. But main law means that you're not being the kind of mitzvah b'shlemusa. Mitzvah b'shlemusa is to evoke a certain response, a certain feeling. But the b'dievet, at least you should do the ma'isa mitzvah. At least he has the ma'isa mitzvah. So come on the Rambam that if the main law means it wouldn't be yet to both. Even if it was a suda that he liked very much, he still shouldn't do because of doesn't evoke the feelings of Mishloach Manos. It's an interesting thing. So therefore, it would seem that there is a tzuras mitzvah. There is a tzuras mitzvah, but then b'shleimusa requires that it should evoke the feelings. But if it's if you just do the tzuras mitzvah, you're not really the kind of mitzvah b'shleimusa. That's the main law. Good, very good.